Hello and welcome. I'm Dr. Kenitra Bryant, and today's Motivational AIM targets storms, self, service, and sympathy. This episode marks the halfway point of this podcast series entitled The Storm. For those tuning in for the first time, I invite you to listen to parts 1 through 24, where I've shared different aspects of storms and how those aspects serve as learning lessons for the one going through the storms of life. I encourage you to listen to those episodes because there might be something you relate with or something you can share, identify with, or glean from the revelatory insights I've shared. Now, as I jump in today's motivational aim, storm, self-service, and sympathy, I'm going straight to the Word of God, and you can follow along with me if you want to. The passage of Scripture that I will use as a reference is Luke, the 10th chapter, and the 25th through the 37th verse, but I'm going to read, starting off, Luke, the 10th chapter, and the 25th through the 29th verse. So, I'm about to read. Then an expert in the law stood up to test him, saying, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he asked him. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." "You've answered correctly," he told him. "Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Now, after reading that passage of Scripture, we have an understanding that an expert in the law, an educated person, he comes up and decides to give Jesus a pop test. He asked Jesus, what must he do to inherit eternal life? Now, that is a valid question, but this man was in a storm and he had no clue. Because you have some people who ask questions and they really don't know the answer and they want to answer, but they'll do what they need to do once they receive the answer so that whatever they ask can manifest in their life. But there are some people who ask questions, and their line of questioning is not to seek an answer, it's to seek an audience, attention, and adoration of what they want people to think that they know. So in this case, you have a man, he studied the law, he knows the rules, procedures, regulations, policies, he knows everything by the book because he's been studying it. Keyword, study. When a person studies something, they are devoting their time and attention to acquiring knowledge on a subject. So for the passage of Scripture to open up with how this man was an expert in the law, why would he ask Jesus this question? But what did our Lord and Savior do when this expert asked him this question? He turned it right back around on him. He took the man straight to school. Jesus asked him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And somebody might be like, man, that was kind of harsh. I mean, why didn't Jesus just answer his question? He just didn't know. Well, one thing about Jesus and one thing about God the Father is they know our hearts. They know our motives. They know our intentions. And they know why we do things, why we say things, why we choose to ask certain questions. They know the intent behind the question. So for this expert in the law, using his human scale of intelligence to question Jesus in this manner, because there's nothing wrong with questioning Jesus. There's nothing wrong with questioning God. When you really are going through something, you don't know, you're seeking answers. Don't be fooled by that little saying, you don't question God, don't question God. No, question God, okay? Because you need an understanding, you need clarity. But God knows our motives behind the question. So if we're coming to him with a question that we already know the answer to, but we're cherry picking things to justify our actions, that's a whole different ballgame. And that's what I'm talking about here. And that's why I'm spending a little more time just to explain that this man was an expert. Scripture lets us know this man was an expert in the law, expert in rules, expert in regulations, an expert in cause and effect. The expert asks Jesus a question, and Jesus addresses the expert in the sight of the audience by allowing the expert to answer him. And the expert answer was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus told the man, okay, you answered correctly, and gives him further instruction to go do this and you will live. So Jesus is letting the expert know, okay, you know the law, now go do what the law says to do. And apparently that was an issue, because the expert, I believe, he wasn't trying to hear that. He wanted to justify himself. He wanted Jesus to tell him, oh, you've been doing so good. You've been loving the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. Oh, you're doing so excellent. But Jesus let him know, okay, you did all that. Now it's time to love your neighbor. When you do that, you know, you're really following the commands. Oh, love my neighbor. Oh, he wasn't trying to hear that at all, because scripture lets us know he tried to justify himself. And this is the point in scripture where the reader, or where I, was able to identify and see that this man was in a storm. Jesus already knew he was in a storm, but this man didn't know he was in a storm. He was in a storm. And you might ask, oh my gosh, what storm was he in? He was just asking a question. And the storm is not being a actual hearer and doer of the word. You can know the laws all day long. You can know the scripture. You can know the everything in the Bible. Whatever's in the Bible, you can know it all. But if you don't do what God says to do in the word of God, you're in a storm. You are in an absolute storm. And there are some people, and there could be situations and circumstances and events in our life where we've done that. We know the word. Either we intentionally don't do what the word says, or we just don't do it because we are not wise in a particular area yet. But in most cases, people know God's word and they just don't want to do that. They want the blessings, but they don't want to be obedient. They want the blessings, but they don't want to forgive. Oh, they want the blessings, but they don't even want to sow into someone's life. Oh, they want the blessings. They want the healing. They want the breakthrough. But they go around slapping people upside the head with the Bible, with the word of God, and they don't even open the Bible. They don't even do it. They know a couple of scriptures that they just keep saying over and over again. Just the ones that you can insert in conversation and people looking like, oh man, you know, that's a man of God right there. Because I heard what he said. No, you are a man and woman of God when you actively do what the Lord commanded you to do. Is it going to be easy? No. Are you going to be perfect? No. But can it be done? Buying through the Holy Spirit, praying to God, asking him for wisdom, asking him for discernment, asking him to guide you every day of your life. If you do that, yeah, you can get through it. But a person is in a storm when they're so consumed with rules and regulations and looking at what other people are not doing, and they fail to do the very thing themselves. And then they're in a storm when they feel that Jesus can't tell them nothing. And then when Jesus corrects them, they want to justify. They want to justify their actions because they don't want to do what God commanded them to do, because they're in a storm. It's a mental breakdown somewhere. It's a prideful breakdown somewhere. It's not even a breakdown. It's a prideful wall that's just not coming down at that moment. That's a storm. When God commands you to do something, but you're going to do it your way. and you so bold that when Jesus comes and tells you, okay, do what I told you to do. What do you mean by that? Oh, that's bold. That's a storm. That is a storm, okay? And sometimes people go through those type of storms and then you laid flat on your back, literally and figuratively, okay? And then you ready to do what God said to do because you see, okay, this is not the way. This isn't the way to go. God forgive me for cherry picking scriptures and thinking that I knew what I was talking about. I might have known the law, but I wasn't doing it. And when I do what God commands me to do, it gives a total different perspective and understanding to what these rules, laws, expectations really mean and what they consist of. And before we come down on the man, you know, be looking like, he just thought he was all of that. Let's calm down. Let's just calm all the way down before we start pointing the finger. Because there are some times I believe that we can all just go back in our mind, think about some moments in time where we thought we were an expert in something. And we could have very well put in the time, the work, the energy to learn about a particular skill, a discipline, a craft, whatever it is. We've been experts, or we are experts in something. We think we know something. We think we have something. And then we're following these rules. We're doing what we need to do, thinking that the rules are creating the outcomes for us. And then we throw a tantrum when things don't work out. Because we've done the studying. We've evaluated the situation. We've researched everything. I mean, we just know. We just know what's going on. But things are not working out. So we come boldly to Jesus, you know, crying. Jesus, I mean, I'm asking you this question because, you know, I'm really going through. And I just don't understand what's going on. Like, my life isn't right now. I just don't know why. I read your word. I study your word. I study your word. I don't know what's going on. And as you're saying all of that, crying, you're stutter breathing, double breathing, you know, that breathing that you do when you just got a whooping and you're just trying to collect yourself, you're doing all of that. And Jesus calmly asks you, I mean, since you've been doing all this studying and you're an expert in all this stuff, what does my word say to do? How are you reading my word? How do you read it? So instead of just answering Jesus' question, we pinpoint, or a person pinpoints, some scriptures, and they cherry pick the ones that they want to follow, and they format them in a way to fit their personal agenda. And similar to this expert, he wanted to justify. There was a mental block there. There was a storm there. He wanted to justify what he does for somebody, even though the Lord told him to do something for someone. So as I said earlier, Jesus takes the expert to school because apparently he has a lot to learn. And Jesus then provides a parable to teach the expert something and those listening. And the parable serves many functions. For one, it's an instructional piece. It provides revelation. It provides an opportunity for Jesus to correct and show someone that they are in a storm regarding self, service, and sympathy. And praise God that he loves us enough to correct us when we come to him with the wrong motives, or we come to him with an attitude of justification in everything instead of being accountable for what we're doing. So Jesus provides this powerful parable, and the parable is found in Luke, the 10th chapter, starting at the 30th verse. And I'm going to go ahead and read it. Jesus took up the question and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him, beat him up, and fled, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. In the same way, a Levite when he arrived at the place and saw him pass by on the other side. But a Samaritan, on his journey, came up to him, and when he saw the man, he had compassion. He went over to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on olive oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, "Take care of him. When I come back, I'll reimburse you for whatever extra you spend." Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? "The one who showed mercy to him," he said. Then Jesus told him, "Go and do the same." Now you just heard it, and if you read it, you just read it. And don't forget, this is in response to the expert. The expert asked the question. Jesus answered the expert, asked the expert, "What does the law say? Okay, go ahead and do it." And then he comes back, "Who is my neighbor?" And then Jesus provides this parable to let this expert know who his neighbor is. That's why I said this man was going through a storm, didn't know he was going through a storm with self, service, and sympathy. So Jesus provides this teachable moment. So he describes a man who was traveling, going about his day-to-day activities, and this man encounters a storm. Robbers, people who can't leave other people's stuff alone, they see this man, they rob him, they beat him, they strip him, and then they flee. And does that sound familiar to some of you? You're minding your business, living your life, and somebody or a group of people can't leave you alone, and they can't leave your family alone or yours alone, period. So they have this mindset where they just have to take from you. They have to take what's yours. They don't have to. They choose to. They steal your ideas. They steal your relationships. They steal your time. They steal your peace. They beat on your integrity. They beat on your routines. They beat on you, period. And then they strip what belongs to you. They strip your finances. They strip your credit. They strip your opportunities. They strip your relationships. They try to strip your reputation. And instead of standing there telling people, "Hey, this is what I did. I stripped them. I beat them. I robbed them." No, they take off and flee, leaving you stranded, beat up, stripped. And this can happen to a person physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, financially, professionally, academically, socially, in any other lee you can think of. So you have this man, shout out to the birds in the background. So you have this man, he's left on the side of the road, half dead. And what happens next is key, as relates to the expert's question, which was, "And who was my neighbor?" As we explore this parable, one thing we don't want to miss out on is trying to justify who our neighbor is when it's up to us to exercise sympathy and service. And isn't it something when a person does not want to exercise sympathy and service to others, but when they're experiencing these situations where they find themselves half dead, they're half dead to joy, half dead to peace, half dead because of bills, half dead because of opportunities snatched from them, half dead from health battles, half dead from emotional pain, half dead from trials, half dead from just relationship issues, half dead from dreams not being fulfilled, half dead from studying, trying to be an expert, and then nobody's paying people for that field of study. Half dead from pain, half dead from the past, half dead from worry, half dead from always trying to overcome issues, half dead from being overwhelmed with trying to recover, and then somebody knocks you back down. Half dead from mental storms, half dead from regret, half dead from not being able to identify and see yourself the way God sees you. So a person could be left half dead on the side of the road and somebody doesn't exercise sympathy and service to them, but when they see somebody going through all those half-dead scenarios, oh, they walk to the other side. Mm-mm, can't deal with that. And you know why they walk to the other side? Because they're justifying something. But let me get back to the man who was half-dead. The one we can all relate with. Matter of fact, we can relate with every individual Jesus mentions in this scripture, even the expert. But you have this man half dead on the side of the road. A priest happened to be going down the road. And you know what a priest is. A priest serves as a mediator between humans and God. And this priest, who was an expert in his priestly duties and rules and regulations, he sees this man and he passed by on the other side. Now, let's not go all the way in on the priest, okay? Saying, that's what they be doing though, man. They fraud, you know, they fake. Okay, some are. You're absolutely right. Some are fraud, some are fake. Some don't need to be priest. When you find out what they've been doing, you're absolutely right. But as it relates to the context of this scripture, of what Jesus was teaching this expert and teaching us, is a person can be an expert in something. They're following rules and regulations, but they don't implement what they declare and what they proclaim in their everyday life, because that was an opportunity to show someone, okay, I'm a man of God. I'm a woman of God. I say all these things. I post all these quotes about loving your neighbor as yourself. I'm saying all of that. I'm posting it. I'm telling people, God bless you. But when I see somebody in need, I do not exercise service and sympathy. I'm just focused on self. That shows that a person is in a storm. I mean, I can just imagine what he did. He sees somebody half dead on the side of the street. He looking at him. And he like, oh my God, what is that? What's going on? So he's at a decent enough distance. Let's just say, I'm just using my spiritual imagination. He sees the man. He's like, you know what? Oh, that's a man laid out. Looks like he been beat, robbed, and stripped. I'm not even trying to even deal with that. Let me go ahead and cross on the other side, because I don't feel like dealing with that today. So he could have did something like this. You know, the stuff that we do. We see something. We don't want to help. We don't want to get involved. So what do? Start padding your pockets. Oh man, I forgot something. Dang, I gotta go back. Or you're checking your purse. I'm talking about digging deep in your purse. Whole head in your purse. And you have a small purse, but you looking out, where it? Can't find it. Or if you want to take it to another level, you pull out your phone. And then you pretend somebody's calling you, hoping your phone doesn't ring for real. So you, hey man, where are you? Really? I'm on my way. Don't even worry about it. I'm coming. Stay there. And if you're an expert, I'm talking about an expert in this, where you're trying to avoid something or you just walking to the other side and you don't want to get involved, you can have somebody with you and you know how to navigate it. Let's say you with your friend, your spouse, your children, your niece, your nephews, your siblings, whoever it is. What do? You turn to them and you say something with a stern yet, you know, soft voice. Hey man, shut up and just do what I say. Don't ask me no questions. Don't ask me nothing. Just do what I do and follow my lead, okay? I'm not playing either. You better do it. Man, you don't have it? You left it? Oh, you know we needed that, man. I mean, now we gotta go back. Man, just follow me. Just come on, follow me so we can go. Let's cross over here. See, you can only do that with certain people. You can't do it with parents and grandparents and, you know, aunts and uncles, because they start asking you questions. And they are really loud, too. So if you was with, like, a older family member and you told them, Hey, just follow my lead. What lead? What are you talking about? What do you mean? Are you pretending like I forgot something? What'd you forget? I may have one. I probably have one right here. And then that defeats the whole purpose because then they look at the very thing you were trying to avoid. Oh my goodness, is that a half-dead person? Go get help. Go get help right now. They need help. So the whole point of me sharing that was just to illustrate how people try to avoid, not even try to, people avoid not being neighborly to someone by just crossing over. It doesn't matter what they did as they crossed over. The fact of the matter is they crossed over and did not exercise sympathy and service to someone. And another point I want to make is it's true. Sometimes you cannot jump into people's storms. You could see somebody going through something. Doesn't mean that you have to jump into it. And if you do jump into it, you could have limited interaction with the person where you've helped them, but you're not engaged in doing more when this person encountered something because of something they did. Now, scripture didn't say that this man was beat up and robbed because he did something. No, the context of this passage lets us know that somebody was in need. And if we, children of God, are claiming to know the law, we're bragging about what we know. We're bragging about our relationship with Jesus, and Jesus is telling us to go do what God commanded us to do. If we don't obey, we're hypocrites. So back to the passage. The priest sees the man half dead on the road, and he walks to the other side. And then another member of the church, matter of fact, this man was a leader. He sees the man, and he passes on the other side too. This lets us know that a person can be a leader and an expert in a field and be selfish, where they don't examine their self to determine self, would I want to be treated this way when I'm in a storm? No, these men saw the man, went to the other side, went down the road. And once again, using my spiritual imagination, what if these men walked to the other side of the road and the robbers were waiting for them, just waiting to ambush them? Then you would have had three men on the side of the road half dead. Now, how would the priest and the church leader feel if people saw them as they're half dead and they just tiptoeing around them like, oh man, I wonder what happened to them. Boy, they got beat up. Okay. Let's help him get up out of here. Oh, I'm not trying to help them. Don't pick that up. Leave him alone. Leave that alone. He's bleeding. Hey, don't touch it. We don't have time. No, let's leave. I don't think they would have appreciated that. But that's what the man on the side of the road was going through. Watching people as he was in this state. He watched a priest, a person who talked about giving, talked about loving your neighbor, talked about this, walk straight past him. He wasn't a threat. He watched another leader of the church do it to him. Expert, walk straight past him. But then, a stranger, a Samaritan, a person who's gone through storms. And I don't know the Samaritan's profession or his level of education, but based off of his actions, he exercised Luke, the 6th chapter in the 31st verse that states, do to others as you would have them do to you. And when the Samaritan walked by and he saw a person going through a storm, he didn't say, I mean, they're not my neighbor and they don't live near me, so I can't help them. They aren't the same race as me, so I can't help him. Well, he doesn't have the same educational level of completion that I have, so I can't help them. Oh, they don't spend money or have the money I have, so I can't help them. Oh, they don't eat at the restaurants I eat, so I can't help them. They don't work in the careers that I praise, so I can't help them. He doesn't come from where I come from, so I can't help him. He doesn't look like he's going where I'm going in life, so I can't help him. Oh, they don't engage in what I engage with, so I can't help them. He doesn't talk like I talk, so I can't help him. He doesn't act like I act, so I can't help him. He doesn't think how I think, so I can't help him. He doesn't socialize like I socialize, so I can't help him. The Samaritan didn't do that. During Jesus' day, Samaritans were descendants of intermarriages, which resulted in animosity between groups of people. So knowing that, we have an idea of the storms that Samaritans went through because we see people going through that right now. The Samaritans were rejected. The Samaritans went through storms. They had to pick a side, and even if they picked a side, they could have been rejected by that side. So the Samaritan knew all too well about storms and being left alone. So the Samaritan sees the man going through the storm, and he had compassion on the man. He was able to identify with what he went through himself, where he was able to exhibit sympathy and service. And we don't know the storms the Samaritan was going through at that particular time on that particular day. But he didn't stop the storms he was going through, where he couldn't help somebody going through another storm or their own storm. So the Samaritan served this man who was beat up and stripped and robbed. He bandaged this man's wounds, and that speaks volumes, because when a person takes the time to bandage someone's wounds, that requires a level of care that cannot be rushed. Bandaging wounds means assessing what took place, making sure that there's no pressure to the wounds so that healing or effective healing can take place. Bandaging wounds means being exposed to a person's weaknesses and not talking about them in a way where it makes the person feel less than. Anybody who has bandaged a wound already knows that that's not a quick process. That can take several minutes. It can take up to 20 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, depending on the severity of each wound. And if it's more than one wound, you could be there for a very long time. So this Samaritan took some time to endure blood, infection, the smell, the drainage of somebody else's storm, helping them. He poured olive oil on the wound, wine on the wound, to disinfect and clean it out. He dressed the wound with the healing agent, and then he wrapped it up. And that's serious, because that shows service. That's real service. And then he took it a step further. He picked this man up, put him on his animal, and he transported him to safety. See, he didn't just bandage the man up on the side of the road and just leave him like, hey man, I bandaged your wound, so you got to figure it out. No. He made sure that the man was well taken care of. He takes the man somewhere for him to recover properly, and he took care of him. And taking care means just being attentive. He could have bandaged the man's wounds, and let's say blood and drainage saturated the bandage. The Samaritan could have seen it, saw it was soiled, and readdressed the wound again by bandaging it with fresh bandages. When you take care of somebody, you're just not picking them up and just dropping them off somewhere. You're making sure that they have everything they need for whatever they're trying to do. So the Samaritan probably fed the man, made sure he was covered up, provided him water throughout the night. Probably asked him, hey man, do you need some herbs for a headache? I have some herbal supplements I can give you for the pain. He checked the man's vitals, saw that the man was doing better the next day, and he took out some money, gave it to the man at the hotel, paid for his stay, and the man's continued care. Something that he did not have to do. And then somebody might be out there asking, well, if he was such a good Samaritan, why did he leave? Why didn't he take the man with him? Why didn't he care for the man all the way until the man was better? I mean, so he half did his job. My response to you, or to a person who is asking that, is you should really consider praying about that. Because just because people are going through storms, the world doesn't stop. You see that every day. People are going through storms. What are people doing? Somebody's still going to Disney World. Somebody is still going outside to work out. Somebody is still eating their favorite dinner, meal, or dessert. Somebody could be going through a storm. What happens? Somebody still has to go to work because money has to be made and bills must be paid. So just because somebody doesn't watch somebody intently 24/7 doesn't mean that they aren't being neighborly and doing to others as you would have them do unto you. Because nobody owes nobody nothing but to love them. That's it. Nobody owes you anything. And when somebody even takes the time to do anything for someone, that should be appreciated, especially when it's coming with God-honoring motives and intentions. And then this shows that, okay, a person can go help somebody, but they can't neglect what God called them to do and what God called them to complete. There are pit stops and opportunities for people to help others, where you don't have to tiptoe and go to the other side, because we reap what we sow. But just because we are doing things and we're helping people, God still commanded something for you to do that you still need to go do. So don't get caught up. And we learn the character of the Good Samaritan because he had to have been a man of his word. If he paid the innkeeper and told the innkeeper, hey, take care of this man and I'll pay the balance of whatever you used or whatever you spent, I'll pay that when I get back. That speaks volumes. Because some people, they expect payment before they do any service. So for someone to trust that this person was coming back, this was a man of integrity. And as I said earlier, this is a powerful parable. And sometimes it takes a storm for us to realize that we aren't experts. And sometimes it takes a storm for us to realize that we need to evaluate ourselves. We can look at what we do right all day long. Like, oh, I do this right. I follow this. I do that. Our focus should not be primarily on praising ourselves on what we do right. We should challenge ourselves and be accountable on the things we need to improve on. And even if we're doing things right, how is our heart? Are we coming with the right intent and the right motives? Because we could be in a storm and Jesus is right there with us, whether we know we're in a storm or not. And Jesus will show us ourself, how self is so consumed with self and does not exercise sympathy and service to others when they need to or when they should. Jesus can expose that self only does things when self is trying to advance and when self wants to get what self wants. Jesus could be showing us that self is really selfish. And Jesus can show us what self is not doing and what self can do better and how self is not an expert in the law like they thought they were. And if self really wants to advance, self needs to relinquish self to Jesus Christ and operate in selflessness, service, and sympathy. And the scripture I would like to go over is Luke, the 10th chapter, in the 36th through the 37th verse. And it reads, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The one who showed mercy to him, he said. Then Jesus told him, go and do the same. After reading this passage of scripture, we understand that we can try to test Jesus. But when Jesus directs us on the very words we've been reading in the Bible and we misapply them to ourselves, Jesus knows how to teach us, correct us, and school us to evaluate self. And in the evaluation process, we are able to see how we react to storms, how our eyes are open to see that we've been in a storm of selfishness for a very long time. And then Jesus is able to guide us in getting out of that storm with the tools to provide effective God-honoring service and sympathy towards others going through. When we see ourselves for who self is and we invite Jesus to school us on a few things, we can see the errors of our ways and begin showing mercy to others in ways that please God. So remain encouraged and don't be too hard on yourself, but aim to measure yourself to the standards of Christ and not your own. And I want to thank you for tuning in. Head over to my website, drkenitrabryant.com, to download a variety of Bible study content, or you can order some encouraging apparel. You can check out some Bible plans I've had the opportunity to share with others on the YouVersion Bible app. Feel free to connect with me on Instagram at encouragingyou. Go ahead and subscribe and share this podcast as we continue to grow. I thank you for spending time with me today. That is something you didn't have to do. Thank you so much for thinking of me today. At the time of this recording, one should hear it on Thanksgiving Day. And I want to go ahead and tell you, Happy Thanksgiving. I hope I've said something to encourage you today. Peace and God bless.